Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to SBPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green, and today we're talking with author Bakhom Saivong about his book, Gametbots. Mr. Saivong, do we have you on the line? Mr. Saivong? Mr. Saivong? Hello, Mr. Saivong? Hello, Mr. Saivong? Mr. Saivong, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes. I'm so sorry about that. I couldn't hear you. How are you doing today?
I am good. I'm very good, actually. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. I'm very excited to be talking to you. I was hoping we could start out if you could just tell our listeners a little about your book.
Oh, okay. Well, the book was originated when I was younger and I kind of figured, you know, maybe I can develop my own toys, you know, with back in the 1980s when origami was coming up, and a lot of kids, you know, in my school and stuff like that were doing origami. And then, you know, pretty much I learned a lot of the basic characters, you know, in origami. And then as I get older, you know, I pretty much have kids myself right now. And I'm like, you know, toys are pretty much expensive. And all they do is, you know, they go to the store, they buy it, and then they play with it for about a week or two. And then it's in the, you know, storage bin.
Right, of course.
And what I did was just trying to develop my own stuff. I mean, even, you know, if it's deteriorated, they can always just throw it out or make new one. But in return, it just, you know, it keeps them out of, you know, technology and stuff like that, just for a day or so, for them to just learn how to fold and make their own characters and things like that to play with. Like with my character, I use some of the traditional origami and then convert them into a robot, which, you know, I got the idea of, like, Power Rangers and Voltron when I was, you know, when it was aired back in the 1980s and 90s. So,
that, you know, that's terrific. So your main style when you make them, you're a robot guy.
Yeah, pretty much. that's what it is.
Well, I know when I was a kid, I mean, all of those Power Rangers, all of that, you know, those were my favorites, especially for young men and boys, robots. So you started out with origami. So these are, just to let our listeners know, handcrafted toys that are made out of paper. And so the book itself is, how would you describe it? Is it an instruction manual? How would you describe the book itself?
Well, the book is a step-by-step instruction manual. You can just follow. I put little words in it, but the picture also, like, it's self-explanatory. I mean, you can look at the step-by-step and pretty much fold it step-by-step with the book. The book is pretty much self-explanatory. I mean, it's step-by-step. All you got to do is take a look at the picture and then fold accordingly, and then you'll get it, you know. I mean, it's really not hard at all to get. But once you get it, you can start to develop, you know, some of your own stuff in it, and then, you know, you can probably make your own twist on it.
So it's a good beginning of the different characters that you've designed yourself to start with, and then there's the possibility, once you've mastered it, to move on and create your own. So what sort of characters are in the book to be created?
Well, I have two characters in the book, though they're just too basic. I mean, I have not even named them yet, but I mean, their basic name is just G1 and G2, which is Gamibot 1 and Gamibot 2. So, I mean, those guys I just created, you know, from the original, I guess the original origami cranes. It just all becomes arms, legs, and bodies, so then you can put them together. And, you know, once you master that, you can pretty much, like I said, the possibility is endless. Because then you can also, you know, take some other traditional origamis that you see and then just convert them, you know, just folding arms, legs, and bodies and then put them together. You know, just like Power Rangers and Voltron, they got, you know, different, different, like, animals, you know, to form into a robot. So, I mean, you can pretty much do the same thing.
Right, right. So you have to begin with the two characters that we start with, and from there, using origami skills. So does the I guess we'll call them the builder, need to have a background or a skill set in origami, or the book itself is so in-depth that a novice like myself, let's say, would be able to craft these characters?
Well, I mean, for beginners, you can craft it. You don't need no skill set or anything. Like I said, just follow the book step by step, and you can pick that up. Pretty much, you start with a flat sheet. You know, the book is pretty simple, easy to follow step by step. You just look at step one all the way till the end, and just, you know, keep on going. So,
excellent, excellent. So, so just to let our listeners know that I looked through it, and I mean they're incredible, and they're simple, but yet they're complicated, which in a great way. You know, it's not like in preschool when you just cut out you know, a little figurine. I mean, they really are legitimate toys. And so when it came about, could you tell me a little history of your process? You had mentioned it keeps your kids away from electronics. So is that important to you as a parent?
Yes. I mean, my kids, I mean, you know, there's always this electronic factor or game system, you know what I mean? They're always playing it. They don't go outside. And to me, I look at my son and my daughter, you know, they're not progressing. It's just that they're glued to the screen. So I try to, like, take them off, you know, that and get some activity going so I can, you know, see how their brain think a little bit. So, you know, with this book, I mean, it can help them think. I mean, it will get a little complicated, you know, at one point, but that's the fun part of it. You know, you
right.
You get to create it, and once you could create your own robot and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure they would want to do more, because that way you can display them. And I mean, you can pretty much do a lot with them. You can color them. You could, you know, you can even make them, you know, bigger, you know, scale size. I mean, I have created Gamibot even the size of my son, which is about two and a half feet, you know.
Wow.
And he would run around with his ninja sword, and at least, you know, that's a activity around the house. He would want to, like, stand him up, you know, around the corner, you know, of the door and stuff like that. He would go on and act like they're bad guys, and he's killing them off. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, the book is easy to follow. And like I said, when I was younger, I didn't have any, any toys to play with. But, you know, I try to create my own, but there wasn't as much technology when I was growing up. So, you know, that made me go outside and hang out and do some stuff outside. But these days, everybody's stuck inside, you know, or glued to the phone or their TV screen playing games. So, I mean,
yeah, you know, very, very true. It's interesting. I mean, I was in education for a while, and it's what you're saying. It couldn't be more straight on. I mean, kids just being stuck inside, and, you know, video games are fun, but they're a little mind-numbing, and it sounds like what you have both works on the analytic with the steps and building it and then imagination. I mean, so are there any stories for, you know, the two in the book? Is one a good guy, one a bad guy? I mean, have you come up with any stories for them?
Well, see, that's in development, because right now I'm trying to see what would work and what would not. I mean, I'm trying to come up with a storyline, which, you know, that's coming at a later time, I guess. I mean, right now it's just, you know, the first stage of it is just trying to get this book known. And, you know, have parents, you know, kind of see that the book also helps. I mean, it's like a father and, you know, father-son project or mm-hmm. or a mom and, you know what I mean? And it's just, like I said, I'm on the first stage right now. I really have no idea yet how I'm going to put the storyline together and which character is going to be what, you know. So, and like I said, that's in a later project. I mean, I haven't even thought about it much. I'm busy myself trying to, you know, trying to deal with my regular schedule with work and trying to take care of the kids, you know, with all the
sure.
regular stuff to do, you know, come home, you know, and deal with the kids and dinner and trying to help them with things here and there. I mean, it's just, you know, you really can't find time to really sit there and really have, like, the time to really think about these things much. So, but it's coming at a later time. I'm figuring out as I go.
Right. Yes. No. And for any kind of inventor or author, I mean, finding the time to do all of that is definitely a challenge. But you know, you were able to produce this book, which is, you know, so wonderfully complicated and nuanced. It has all of the details. You know, it's not. Three pages of just, you know, cut out this silhouette and you're done. So you were just able, how long did it take for you to write this book with such a busy schedule?
Well, you know, it took me a bit. It took me about, I mean, when I started on production on this and start thinking about how I'm going to produce this book, it was, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm really going to have to do something like origami, which is a step-by-step, you know, folding sequence. But it took me about, you know, I'd say a good 6 months to 8 months to pretty much put it together. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that you really have to think about. You have to go over and over, you know, the stuff that you did just to see if it's, you know, right or you know, something has to change. You know, maybe the audience would not understand this. You know, let me change it and back and forth that way. I mean, like I said, it took me a good, it probably took me a good year to try and get that in my head and be comfortable with it. I mean, sometimes
right.
when you're trying to create something, it's just, you know, and then when you're trying to present it to a massive audience, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just like writing a song. Sometimes it's just not how you really want it, you know, but it has to be out. So, I mean, it takes time to do some stuff. So, I mean, like I say, it took about almost a year just to produce this one. And I'm also
right.
working on some more stuff. So, I mean, it gets tough, but I think it's worth it. I mean, it
well, I would say so.
I mean, I actually feel a sense of a little, you know, completion and you know, trying to do more. So this way, I mean, once everybody, you know, hear about this and know about it, I'm trying to even do, you know, maybe a YouTube on one character so everybody get the idea of it. But that's coming at a later time, so.
Yeah, well, no, it's funny that, you know, the Arts and Crafts Project, you know, we have to rely on that technology so much to get people to do the arts and crafts. You know, it's kind of a funny world we live in like that. But, I mean, I think that what you've done with all the care you took, you know, all the time you put in is really saving parents and kids so much time because the directions are so clear and concise, and it's obvious that you didn't just write down the first words that popped into your head that, you know, this way I don't think any parent would be confused, and, you know, it would save them time from having to you know, like any of those toys you got to put together, you know, on Christmas, and it takes 6 hours. With this, I think any parent can read it and then be able to explain it to their children. And I think, you know, what do you see as the age range for Gamacots?
Well, the age range, you know, could be anywhere from, you know, from 6-year-old to 10, you know, from 6 to 10, 6 to 12 maybe, or even, you know, teenagers that want to do it themselves. I mean, they can pretty much understand it. And I'm pretty sure some teenagers would want to try to make them, you know, their size or so, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, with the parents and stuff like that, with young children, they can also sit down and make it with them as a fun little family project and see if, you know, see how good, you know, they can pretty much fold this and make a robot. And to me, for toddlers, you know, for like 4-year-old or three or 4-year-old or even 5-year-old, you know, the parents can pretty much sit down and fold it with them, or just fold it for them, and they can play with the end product. So, I mean, they can just play with the robot itself, you know, while the parent, you know, can create more. I mean, that can also be a fun project, like I said. It goes either way. I mean, you know, if you want to make, you know, you want to spend some time just, you know, make something, I say go right ahead and you can do it. I mean, the age range to me, I mean, anybody could pretty much do it. I mean, you know, with the parents, with young toddlers, all the way up, I say, you know, up to about 14 years old. Because then, you know, like I say, I know teenagers, I mean, up to 14, 15, 16, then they're going to, you know, want to hang out with their friends, you know, impress some girls, of course. You know, normal things teenagers do. I mean, I have a teenage son, too, and you know, he has grown a little bit out of it, but he does like it as well, too. He's like a, you know, a big kid, but he also wants to, you know, do things with his friends and, you know, have a girlfriend and whatnot, you know. So, I mean, whatever it's a teenage want to do. So I just support him. As long as he stay out of trouble, I just, you know, tell him, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, of course. And, you know, teenagers, I mean, all they want is to be cool and all of that, of course. But, no, and I agree that, you know, 13, 14, I mean, I think when I was 13 or 14, I still would have loved this. And I like the idea of what you were saying about with the younger kids. So not only does it help foster, you know, almost the mathematical and practical of putting it together, even if they're just watching their dad or mom do it, and the imaginative, it seems like a good bonding between parents and children, which seems to not happen as much today because it's easier to sit them in front of the TV. So did you find when you were doing with your children that it was a good bonding experience?
Absolutely. I mean, I you know, when I was making it with my kids, I mean, they all they want to see is pretty much, Daddy, I want to see the robot. I want to see the robot. And then when it's completed, they just want to, like, you know, hang out with it and play with it. And you know, and I mean, they do try to fold it. I mean, it gets a little frustrating with them, but then, you know, it also helps them to actually work their mind a little bit, have a little bit of imagination. And then, they could see what is going on, and you know, like my son, he would want to go from beginning to end and then see what he made, and then he would want to, like, color it in, and he wants to, you know, make it out of different sorts of paper, and he would want to, like, make, you know, certain amount of them so he can, like, you know, stand them up and just, like, put them on display, you know, that was his work and things like that. I mean, he, you know, my son actually likes it, and now he's, like, you know, trying to do a little bit more stuff too, you know, which, you know, trying to, you know, since I got him on this building stuff and you see what you can create and stuff like that, he's been trying to do a little bit more, like trying to learn how to weld and trying to build things with Daddy, and he likes that kind of stuff to do with me. It's because, you know, it is a good bonding thing with the parents. I mean, because then the kids would want to see what is next. You know, what are you going to do
right.
next? And you know, they'll just be like with you, and that's where you can take them from that and then try to teach them other things. You know, it is a good bonding book if you want to give it a try. That will work out. I mean.
No, and I thought that was so interesting what you said about welding and how it can then lead to other things. And, you know, so if it helps the formation of them with imagination and independence and all of that, that as they get older, so, you know, when they're 15, 16, 17, and let's say using the actual Gamma Bots anymore, that foundation of, well, I sure love to create something. I sure loved the detail of putting this together, and that can lead to so many different careers, you know, so many different hobbies. And, you know, I think that's very important because I think a lot of young people, they don't really know what they want to do because they don't really do anything, something I see a lot. And, I mean, it seems like this is great for just, you know, the teaching kids, but also, you know, the fun of having them. And so you've made the large ones. So I could use any kind of paper, any kind of materials for one of these?
Right. You can use any plain paper, you know, loose leaf paper. There is no guideline for papers. I mean, you can pretty much use any paper. I mean, I've used multiple different types of paper. There's nothing you can't use. I mean, if it's paper, you know, you can pretty much use it.
That's terrific. That's, I mean, also just the cost there, because things are, you know, even 15 years ago, you know, kids were fine with plastic toys, which were still expensive. And now it seems like even the youngest kid, they want their own iPad or their own iPhone. And, you know, it seems like,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying?
It's okay. I said, yeah, you know, those iPads, those smartphones, you know, and things like that, those can get very, very expensive, you know. So.
Yeah. And they break. And so, what is the life of a GammaBot before it? You can build a new one, or does it just depend on how they're played with?
Well, it depends. Like everything else. I mean. If you play with it more, of course, it's gonna, you know, be worn out more. But you know, the fun thing with GammaBot is you can create, you know, as much as you want. I mean, it's unlimited. You can make them, you know, you can make them scale size. You know, you can make them action figure size all the way. You know, you can probably make them, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall if it's the right paper. You know, and these things here, like I said, you know, at a later time, I'm trying to develop. I mean, if you can create something your size, you can actually actually turn them into a suit. But that will be a later time that will be explained.
Ooh, I like that. That's a nice twist on it. I hadn't even thought of that. So you have quite the ideas brewing in that brain of yours, which is very exciting.
Like I said, it's been a long time making. You know, I've been thinking about it for a long time. I mean, to put something together, like I said, with having kids and family and stuff like that. I mean, you know, when I think back, I should have done this, you know, at an early time. But I mean, this took me, you know, about 10, 15 years in the making just even thinking about it. And then I have came up with all different sorts of ideas, and those things right there, it's just, you know, it'll come to light later, in a later time throughout this process of being an author and trying to get, you know, parents and kids together, get an activity going and kind of see where it'll lead to. And then kind of see, you know, for myself, this is also a development process for myself as well, too. So. I mean, that way I can grow with it and maybe I can make a few changes in my own life, you know, to see what I could accomplish and keep on moving from there. So
that's great. I mean, it seems almost like the book itself and these ideas are your own gamibots, where you were saying when you finished the book, a sense of accomplishment, growing as yourself. I mean, I would argue that not only would kids learn from these, I think adults could probably use it too, a little creativity in their lives, a little kind of returning to being a child. Do you think it would help adults kind of tap back into a little youthfulness they may have lost?
Oh, definitely. I mean, some adults can go back and maybe create, you know, their own stuff and maybe explore, you know, the things that you know, that they could think of and maybe, you know, push, you know, their own boundaries a little bit. You know, it will also spark some creativity out of it. You know, I mean, just recently I was watching television and there's this commercial that came up that I'm like, yeah, really? You know, I mean, they got these books now that comes out and even adult can know them. It's like a fun relaxing time or something that you can, I mean, order these books and then you can just sit down and color or you know, your own artwork into it. And I'm like, you know, that's, even that can also spark something, you know, for adults, you know, I mean, kids of all ages. I mean, once you spark a little bit of interest, it kind of goes from there. It kind of get the ball rolling where, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to really see, you know, what I can do. And that's just the main thing of it. Like you can actually see what you can accomplish and you want to be able to move, you know, to do things more and trying to elevate yourself more and, you know, and feel that, yeah, you know, I still got it, you know, things like that. So
I think that I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that as adults, we're often trained that when you're an adult, fun is over. And I think that especially for an adult with a busy schedule, like you said, we need that fun. So I'd say the gamibots are essential for both the growth of children and adults. So we're at the end of our time for this interview, but to let our listeners know, we are going to be having two more interviews very soon with author Bakam Saivong. And Mr. Saivong, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Anything you'd like to say before we sign off for this first interview?
Be more creative. That's all it is to it. Thank you so much, Charles.
Thank you. Take care, and I will speak with you soon.
All righty. You have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. That was author Bakam Saivong discussing his book, Gamibots. We will be speaking to Mr. Saivong very soon for two more installments of our interview. This has been SBPRA Radio. My name is Charles Green. I was your host. And Gamibots is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, at AMI.com. Thank you so much, and read on.